It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Wonder Twin. Without further ado, let's get back to art.
All right, let's roll along, Joe.
You know, I don't want to put an exact time frame on it. We'll get started right away, and it'll take weeks at least, I would say. Nowadays there are a number of protocols we have to follow that are sort of really designed to slow the process down, and so as I say, it'll probably take at least a few weeks.
You guys haven't done this very often over the years, but you've had a type. Does young up and coming defensive coordinator still work as a blueprint, or once you expand that?
You know, for now, I don't want to sort of put any real parameters around it. We're going to, be an open book in terms of, who we look for and the list that we build. Could I sign up for another Chuck Knoll or another Bill Cowher or another Mike Tomlin? Sure.
That was good stuff there. To me, it wasn't so much the defensive coordinator part. At least I don't think that got those guys those jobs. I think, again, I'll use that term, force of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the Chuck Knoll situation, I talked to Marianne Knoll about how the day after the Baltimore Colts lost that Super Bowl to the Jets, to the Joe Namath Jets, one of the most crushing losses you could ever have. Knoll was the defensive coordinator for Don Shula's Colts. And she told me that the next morning at that hotel in Miami, Chuck Knoll was meeting with Dan Rooney. And who comes and knocks on her door but Don Shula? And he says to Marianne Knoll, listen, if the Rooney's offer, because it was Buffalo and Boston, mm-hmm. then the Boston Patriots were after Chuck. He said, if the Rooney's offer, take that job, they're good people. And what was impressing Dan Rooney in that interview, even as that was happening, was his encyclopedic knowledge already of the Steelers and his personality. What's a better word for that? His presence.
Yeah, presence. His is presence. He had a presence.
Is what got him the job. Bill Cowher's presence. You could see it the first time he ever took the sidelines for the Steelers. And Tomlin was probably the most dramatic example. They gave the job to Russ Grimm. He had the job. He was ready to go to a news conference. He told at least one reporter in town that he had the job and that everything was set. And they changed their minds at the last second because of what Mike Tomlin had done in that interview,
and I think,
which was just blow them away.
Another guy who was in that conversation for that head coaching job was Ken Whisenhunt, too, because he was a good offensive guy.
Yeah.
And then you're right. This charismatic person comes over here, expresses everything he's intending to do, how he's going to do it. You could be swayed by that. And I think that's in any job interview. If you come in with a tremendous first session in front of someone, man, they're going to remember that, and it could influence how they do it. So
I won't say that.
It doesn't have to be a defensive guy, by the
right.
way. Just because they have three of them, it could be anyone, as long as you fit, that kind of profile.
I'm not sure it wasn't just a coincidence that all three were defensive coordinators. And I realize that defense in many ways has been the calling card. Go back to the Steel Curtain and Blitzberg and some of Tomlin's early defenses. I get it. But, I mean, Dick LeBeau was here. Bud Carson was here, right?
Right.
You had other guys. I think what won the day and won them the job with all three was, yes, their presence the minute they walked into that room. I don't think Art is sitting there saying we have to get a defensive coordinator guy. It works either way. You can have Ben Johnson, who cut his teeth and made his name on offense and is calling plays, or it can be Mike McDonald, who might have the best team in football, who's a defensive guy. It doesn't matter. You want offense? Hire Josh McDaniel. Mike Vrabel's a defensive guy. He handed the offense to a great offensive coach in Josh McDaniels. It's more about, are you going to be the CEO of this football team, the general of this football team moving forward, and how do you carry yourself in that interview, I think.
Yeah, it's emerged more as a CEO role over the years. way back when Chuck's day, that was not really what it is today. And these guys now have a lot on their plate. They have to represent the team. They're the ones who go in front of the media every day that they have to talk. So they set whatever standard they have to set. And whoever is this next guy, and there are so many names on this list, there are even more emerging here, these guys who are in different levels of coaching, whether that be college even. There's some really good young offensive minds in college and defensive minds. I get the feeling they're going to try to look at as many different kind of people as they can. And today with Zoom and everything else, you can, get this thing moving pretty quickly.
Why not pick as many brains as you can, right? Fan yeah. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Art Rooney II met with media today. Let's continue on that.
Somebody that we feel fits that mold would be great, but for now we're not going to kind of narrow the box too much.
Art, can you think along those same lines? What characteristics are important to this organization when you are looking for a new head coach?
I think there are a lot of things that go into being a successful head coach. Number one, really, I think in my mind is leadership and really trusting that this person can stand up in front of your team day in and day out and hold their attention and have them motivated to do what they do. So that's the most important.
Can you explain exactly what you left on my contract and how that will affect things moving forward?
I'm not going to get into the contract today. I don't think that's necessary at this point.
A lot of head coaches are looked at being play callers, guys that are more heavily involved in the schematics. I know having that leader of the room is important, but how much is maybe having that intertwined into the decision making and the search to find that next CEO of your coaches?
I mean, look, as I said, there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of qualities that you look for, obviously somebody that has the experience of doing what we need them to do is going to be key.
When you do this as infrequently as you have, it's been a long time. What do you remember about the search for Mike? How involved were you in that process? Is there anything that you remember from that time that is fresh in your mind as you go forward into this now?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been involved in a number of searches going back to Coach Cower and obviously GM searches. And, I think when you start the search, I think if I've learned anything, it's to have an open mind. When we had Mike in for his first interview, certainly wasn't expecting that he was going to be our next head coach. So you go through the process and be diligent and hopefully you come out with the right guy.
Obviously, you were happy.
Why did you stop at limits?
Because I saw the looks on your guys' faces. I thought you were going to say something.
Bob is waiting for me to raise my hand and stop the thing, and he's not doing anything. He's over there texting
Bob?
People.
I'm not. I'm just listening to what he's saying.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
That's all I'm doing.
Bob is just sitting back there relaxing in his chair.
Are
you ever going to stop it so we can talk? I'm waiting for you to jump in.
I'm not going to jump in every time there's something. To me, that's, he just explained what they go through.
Okay.
And I agree that Mike Tomlin was not all that high on their list when they first started the process. And guys can emerge that way. You don't know until you talk to them. That's why it's always better to do as much of this as you can before you make a decision.
Thank you, Bob.
The job that Mike was doing, you didn't necessarily expect that he was going to tell you he was leaving, but you also weren't surprised. With that in mind, have you had an eye or just looked around over the last couple of years of guys that could possibly be in line that you would be interested in interviewing if there was a head coach opening here?
Not really. Not, haven't spent a lot of time doing that, to be honest.
We want to talk about the contract itself, but obviously he's still under contract. There could be compensation or trade. Is that something that did he indicate he might want to coach again? And would you be interested in something like that?
you know, Mike indicated that he did not anticipate coaching, at least, you know, in the near future. I think he wants to spend time with his family and do some of the kinds of things he hasn't been able to do for the last, you know, many, many years. And so, you know, if something like that comes up, we'll deal with it when it comes up. But right now, that doesn't seem to be on his radar.
So do we know what the parameters are here? If he has a job before 2027, the Steelers can get...
They get compensation.
If they organize a trade.
Well, yeah, but he would have to agree to whatever this is, too.
Right.
And it's going to start, I'm sure, by his agent feeling, if it does happen now or in the, you know, before next season, then the agent's going to have to work out, okay, this guy's interested, this team's interested, and then it has to entice Mike. If it then they have to go to the Steelers, I would imagine, and say, okay.
I know Art doesn't. Art sounds a little bit cranky today, Bob, and this was me yesterday at about 5:30. I was hangry and needed something to eat. He sounds cranky. I get it. But this is a giant deal. I mean, the Saints got a first and second round pick for Sean Payton to go to the Broncos, right?
Yeah. What do you want him to do, though?
I don't know. Maybe they're asking him what the parameters might be. Like, what's in his contract? And he could say, if Mike comes back to coach within a couple of years, we do stand a chance to get draft pick compensation. He could have said that.
He could have, yeah. I mean, because it's out there, and that's generally what happens with
these kinds of things. Do you think he sounds cranky,
Limits?
Before
you pick up an option.
I think he sounds a little bit surprised and cranky just by this taking place.
Yeah.
That he thought that Tomlin actually was going to come back next year.
No, I meant Bob. Do you think Bob sounds cranky? Yeah.
Oh, you directed
that at me? Maybe a little bit annoyed.
I'm cranky?
I thought we were talking about Art here.
I'm not cranky. I'm just sitting here trying to listen to it because this is the first time we've heard it.
I know.
Do you think you're making Bob cranky?
You know what? I might be cranky, and I apologize for that.
I'm not cranky.
I know you're not. I am. Let's get back to it.
All right. Here's more from Art.
Could you kind of take us on a day-to-day level with Mike, personal? Like, what are you going to miss most about the everyday interaction with him and just moving forward, not knowing that Mike T not in the facility?
I mean, Mike was great to work with day in and day out. Just an incredible presence in the building. You know, someone that you walk into a meeting and, you know, discuss what needs to be done, and that's the plan. So no backtracking on things, sort of hidden agendas, anything like that. Great to work with.
Would you anticipate anybody currently or on Mike's staff being a candidate for his replacement, or is the idea maybe to start fresh with somebody outside the building?
You know, right now I don't think that anybody on our staff is a candidate. Maybe a candidate to stay on the staff, you know, depending on what the new head coach wants to do, but probably not as a head coach.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if there's one guy, it would be Danny Smith, I bet.
Oh, man, that would be fantastic.
Because, you know, that role, he's been decent at that role, better than most overall if you look at the numbers. So if that coach wants to just – and maybe it comes from a little, you know, nudge from ownership here that this guy's pretty good, you should consider him. I don't think they'll tell him who to hire, but they will recommend, right? Is there anyone else on that staff you would think would
– Everybody else seems to want to interview Artie. I have no idea why, but no, there's nobody else. I don't know. Maybe somebody on the staff you keep. I don't know. But I think this is a chance to break away from not only pretty much everybody on your staff, but also some of your philosophies over the years. It's a rare chance here, maybe just to totally reset. And I don't know. I don't know. Is Omar the best guy to lead a search for a football guy? I don't know.
I'm sure Andy White will have some perspective and say on it as well. Because if a lot of people truly believe that Mike Tomlin had this huge pull in the organization, say over the roster, say over personnel with the draft and decision making, there is now a lot of pressure on Omar Khan, Andy Whitehall, and this group led by Art Rooney to get this thing right and to be able to put the pieces together. Because a lot of it had Tomlin's fingerprints on it. Now we're going to see what it looks like without.
Well, let's get back to it in a moment here. It's 1:28, time to check out 9 Yards Golf Lounge, now open at the Block Northway in Ross Township. Social media's biggest loser, not Malzy, is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Who is social media's biggest loser today, oh limitless wonder?
Social media's biggest loser today is the people that are trying to insinuate that the Steelers made, or that Mike maybe made, the wrong decision, that the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Intern Dom is our social media loser.
Yes.
What was his tweet earlier today? I hope all the people who ran Tomlin out of town are happy if the next guy's no good, something like that.
So the next guy's going to go 9 consecutive years and not win a playoff game? Is that what Intern Dom's saying?
I don't know.
He's worthy of this award today, Bob.
He is, Bob.
Yes, Intern I would concur.
All right. We'll get back to art next. I don't know. Will we have time to finish this next or no? Oh, limitless wonder.
It depends on how many times we stop it on the way.
Okay, that was it.
No,
that was a hint to me, Bob. And no, it was a direct shot to me.
It's a direct shot. I mean,
we still have halfway to go. We still have halfway to go.
Not only did he say it,
that was a direct shot.
It was his physical mannerism. No, he pointed at you directly.
And it's been building resentment because I've been calling him out on all the clips he didn't get today.
Well, I'm going to take his back on that one. You ask for a lot. And sometimes you ask it on the spur of the moment.
Not even
the most magic man can do that.
You're a magic man.
I was just talking about the magic man yesterday with a Packers fan. Remember Don Majkowski was
Majkowski,
their quarterback from Orchard Park, New York?
Number 7. Legend. I think it's number 7.
He fumbled at the Bills 2, and Leon Seals, Dr. Sack, they called him, scored a touchdown.
Leon Seals
at Rich
Stadium. That's such an old name, but yeah.
And he ran to the end zone, and I ran down to jump on Leon Seals, and he threw the ball into the stands right in the seat that I had vacated, Bob. Dr. Sack did. I would have
you
a
missed
football.
Your opportunity.
Yeah, I would have a football right now from Dr. Sack if I didn't go down to jump on him and celebrate his touchdown against the Magic Man limits.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I mean,
Look up.
That's what happened.
Majkowski.
Bob, my season tickets way back when in the late 80s or so were in the tunnel end zone. Right at the end zone. We used to yell at the Bills owner.
By the way, what is your thought about them moving out into a whole new facility and everything that goes with that? A lot of people were really like taken back by it. Like,
I mean, I'm excited to see it. I'm glad that at least part of it is outdoors, but I'm not overly thrilled.
You want the outdoor component.
The whole part of that stadium was it's way out in Orchard Park. It would be like having, you know, a stadium here. Give me a in
Cranberry.
No, more like farm country, like, I don't know, Uniontown or something, but a little closer. And the idea was to bring a team like Marino's Dolphins out into the snow, way out into the country, and then ritualistically slaughter them. And enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is lost.
Yeah, money calls. Whenever they can make more money doing multiple events there that they could not do in an outdoor stadium.
I know, and it hurts, Bob. Thank you.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.